Well, praise the Lord. We've been making our way through the Psalms, and the Psalms are powerful in instruction and in prophecy, but they are most often involved with praise. It is the songbook of Israel. And we've made our way down to Psalms 147, and we're going to spend a little more time there. 146 and 147 might be characterized by why we praise God. 148 would be who should praise God. 149 and 50 are how should I praise God. So we're going to explore this a little further today. Just to fill the house a little bit, would you just say, praise God. Praise God. Something moves when people praise God. Something resonates down in your spirit. Some, even if you're not living for God, some vestigial something that was connected with the Spirit of God cries out, deep calleth unto deep. Praise God. Psalms 147, and we'll just start there. It's a good place to start. Let's just do verses 1 and 2. Would you say, praise ye the Lord? For it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Praise God. God bless you. Clap your hands. Lift your voice. Give God praise and thanks and magnify him. We bless you, Lord. We worship you, mighty God. Glory to God. We've made our way, for the most part, through Psalms 147. But I want to, I want us to pick up in verse 15. Or we could back up a little more. Verse 13, speaking of Jerusalem, and these are post-exilic Jews here. They have come out of Babylon, out of captivity. They're back. The city is rebuilt. The temple is rebuilt. Not as grand as Solomon's city, not as grand as Solomon's temple, but they have seen the redemption and the restoration of God. And I'll tell you, people that know true restoration know how to worship God. People that know where they were and what God has done for them, they know how to worship God. Well, somebody say, praise the Lord. Verse 13 in Psalms 147, he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee, speaking of Jerusalem. He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest of wheat. He supplies the needs of those in Jerusalem. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. When God gets ready to move on your behalf, when God speaks his word, you won't wait a long time for the effect and the impact of that word. Because God can come to where you are right now. God can serve your need right now. God can change your circumstance right now. Is there anybody that knows that from experience? Well, praise God. And this is kind of interesting. 16, he giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casts forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melteth them and causes his wind to blow and the waters to flow. Now, all of that is connected. The life flow of the Jordan Valley starts up in the snow banks up on Mount Hermon. And that snow piles up, and as it begins to melt, seasonally, the waters run down into that valley. And these people are agrarian and pastoral. They either grow it in the ground or they grow it on the hoof. And water is essential to life everywhere. But the psalmist says, before I need it, before I plant my seed, God's already stockpiling the water. He's not giving the water right now. He's stockpiling it on top of a mountain peak in a place that's beyond my reach. Somewhere beyond my power and my reach, God is stockpiling the answer answer to my need. And in the time of my need, he blows upon it, and the waters flow down through the Jordan Valley, and they come down and they water my wheat field or they water my flocks. Isn't God good? Because before you ever walk into your Thursday or your Friday or your next month or your next year, God already has stockpiled your provision in a high place, in a place where he's ready. You don't know what tomorrow holds, but he knows. You don't know what you're going to need, but he knows. You don't know what eventuality will arise, but God knows. Somebody say praise the Lord. Is there a witness in the house that by the time you got to the place of your need, it looked like God was already prepared for you? You walked into a blessing or you walked into an open door, and it was like God knew this all along. How could he have done this? Well, the psalmist begins by saying, listen, he knows all the stars by names. We talked about that Wednesday night, but he knows all the stars, and he knows you. I mean, my little life is so much smaller than anything he's done on that level. Isn't it a great day to be alive in the kingdom of God? Praise God. And this psalm begins with praise the Lord, and it ends with praise the Lord. And the psalmist puts in a plug for Israel. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and judgments to Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise you, the Lord. He said, we're better than all the nations around us. And what makes you better, or what makes you different, or what creates that climate of expectancy and power in your life is the fact that you have covenant relationship with God. Well, praise the Lord. I don't want to walk a day without him in my life. If I'm not right with him today, I want to get it right today. If I'm lacking in my experience in God, I don't want to wait until some life development takes place. I want to get it right today. I wouldn't go another moment without being right with God. If you need the Holy Ghost, you can get it in this house today. If you need to go down in the water in Jesus' name, you can do that today. If you need to find an altar of repentance, you better do that today. Because immediately God begins to move on your behalf and to change the scales and the balances and to begin to move on behalf of your situation. Psalms 148. Who should praise the Lord? If somebody's sitting near you, just ask them, who should praise the Lord? Now, you know the answer to that, right? Everybody ought to praise the Lord. But let's just begin. Praise you. Would you say, praise you, the Lord? Praise you, the Lord. From the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him. All his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise God. You know, angels praise God. There's some that are situated around the throne, and all day long they just say, holy, 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 holy. That's their job. They were created to praise him. At the birth of the Christ, the angels broke out of the dimension of the spirit and emerged into that dimension where those shepherds were on the hilltops there around Jerusalem. And suddenly there was a host of angels, and they were singing and praising and magnifying God. And they were saying, glory to God in the highest, peace, goodwill to men. Praise God. Angels praise God. Jesus, when he's teaching about lost things, the lost sheep and the lost coin and the prodigal son, he said, there is joy, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God. The angels are shouting when one comes down to give his heart, his life to God. Somebody say praise God. When we find lost things and when lost things make their way to the encampment of God, there's rejoicing in the heavens. Praise God. You need to be attuned to that. Whatever makes heaven rejoice is good. Whatever makes heaven rejoice is something you want to be invested in. You want to be a part of. So the angels worship and praise God. Verse 3, praise ye him, sun, moon, praise ye him, all ye stars of light. And so the created bodies in the very fact of their creation are there and positioned to praise God. Why are they there? They're there to praise God. God makes everything with the intent and purpose of praise and worship. Now, I understand the creation story, and I know they were put there for signs, for seasons and days and months and years. And I understand that. But while they're there, just boiling in all of their thermonuclear glory, they are praising God, just sitting there pulsing. They're saying, God is great. There's little tiny cosmic speck of a man down here on the earth saying, I don't believe there's a God. And the sun is saying, God is great. God is great. And the moon rises at night. God is great. God is great. And this little pipsqueak of a cosmic microorganism, he's down here and he's saying, there is no God. There is no God. Under the face of all the stars and the sun and all that God is hung in the heavens. And my goodness, you little pipsqueak, how do you think those things got there? And where do you think they came from? And how do you think they stay in their places? And why don't they run into one another? And why doesn't the sun just burp one time and the earth turn into a crispy critter? Why doesn't that happen? Because God put them there. And he said, stay there. And just by doing the will of God, they are praising and magnifying God. Praise God. It is the will of God that you praise him. It is the purpose of your creation that you praise him. You were designed, you were made to praise him. But I'm ahead of myself. Verse 4, praise him, you heavens of heavens and you waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. So just in the fact of creation, God receives praise. Why should I praise God? Because you're breathing, because you're alive, because God made you a sentient being, and God put you on this earth, and you think your purpose is to make a dollar, or to marry a bride, or to build a house, or to conquer a city, or conquer the world, but your real purpose in life is to praise and magnify God. That you might praise him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You're looking for your purpose, your essential purpose of life. It is to praise and to please God. Praise God. He hath also established them forever and ever. He had made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord. Now, we've talked about the heavenlies. They praise God. Now, verse 7. Praise the Lord from the earth. Now, down on the earth. And heaven and earth encompasses all of creation in terms of a biblical overview. Praise the Lord from the earth. Ye dragons and all deeps. Well, you don't believe in dragons, but the Bible talks about dragons. Talks about Behemoth, whose tail is like a cedar tree. That is not an elephant. You may not have ever seen Behemoth, but Behemoth, an elephant's tail is about like this. That's not a cedar tree. But I digress. All deeps. The deep places, praise him. The dragons, praise him. Burping sulfur and flame, praise him. I'm already stretching your capacity. Fire and hail and snow and vapors and stormy wind fulfilling his word, praise him. Say, well, how does that work? Well, God calls, and there's fire that runs along the ground in Egypt and destroys their crops, and then hail begins to beat and bang all over Egypt, but not in that little corner where the Jews are. And the hail's coming down. Praise God! Praise God! Praise God! And the fire's running along the earth. Praise God! Praise God. Fire and hail. Verse 9, mountains, all hills, fruitful trees, cedars, all of creation praises God. This is not just personification. Verse 10, beasts, all cattle, creeping things, flying fowl. And now we get into the humanity. Kings of the earth and all people, princes, all judges of the earth, young men, maidens, old men, children. Who ought to praise God? The question is, who should praise God? No one's exempt. No one's too big. No one's too small. Nobody's removed from their need and the calling to praise and magnify God. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. Praise him because his name is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. Praise him because his glory is above the earth and the heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even the children of Israel, a people near unto him. There's another plug for Israel. These psalmists always plug Israel. And everyone say, praise ye the Lord. Praise God. So who should praise God? Everybody should praise God. Young men, handmaidens, old folks. Praise God. Everybody should praise God. Nobody's exempt. Well, I wasn't raised that way. That doesn't matter. You were called to praise God. That's not my culture. It doesn't matter. You were called to praise God. What I don't know how. Well, you need to learn how. You were called to praise God. There's places in God you cannot go until you learn to praise Him. Now, the next two psalms are how to praise God. I was raised in a church where every Sunday morning we got together at 9:45. Not 9:30 nor not 10 o'clock, but 9:45. And we had on the bulletin worship service. And a guy got in front, and a lady was on the piano, and it was like, and this is a little too lively. Singing in 16th century English, like the King James, and nobody talks like that anymore, but they do when they sing those songs. And at 9 years of age, I would see in this particular song which vowel would be repeated most often. And the E's win. In this song, the R's win. And a consonant pulls out the victory. And it was just like, oh, rapture when I found a songbook. And at the top of one page, it would have, go to page 37. And at 37, it would have another little message. And I had something to do because church was, and it was only like 15 minutes long. I mean, we go to church for 2 hours. But they said it was worship service. Nobody raised their hands. Nobody clapped their hands. And if you danced, you would have gotten removed. Now, legitimacy comes from the Word of God. In everything. It doesn't matter if the world says the guy building the ark is a moron. Legitimacy comes from the Word of God. It doesn't matter if the world agrees that we need to be quiet and reverent in the house of God. Because the Word of God has something else. And in these last two psalms, we're going to explore how to worship God. Okay. You ready for this? And then after that, we're going to do a little bit of exploration into Hebrew words that instruct us in worship. And then we're going to have a little workshop. Because there may be folks here that have never worshiped God with wild, unbridled abandon. And you need to be able to do that. Because legitimacy comes from the Word of God. You can't create your own worship. You can't create your own doctrine. I know that 99.9% of all the world is baptized, Christian world is baptized in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But I'll give you $1,000 right here if you can show me one narrative account where anybody's baptized in the titles in the Word of God. You can't find it. My $1,000 is safe. And I'd have to get my wife to write you a check anyway because she won't let me have real money. But you don't find baptism in the Trinity in the Word of God because you don't find the Trinity in the Word of God. That's a pretender that shows up 300 years after the apostles. All you got to do is read the history book. Why don't I find that in the Bible? Because it didn't exist. One God, one Father who is above all, through all, and in you all. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You can't create new doctrine apart from the Word of God. It has no, I mean, you can do it. You can be a Buddhist if you want, but it has no legitimacy. You say, well, there's a billion of them over there. Well, it doesn't matter. You wait till we stand before the throne of God, and then what is legitimate really comes to light. If you're 8 people on an ark, don't let the crowd intimidate you. So anyway, regarding anything theological, you can't create your own. You have to be biblically based. So we're going to explore this morning about worship. Psalms 149. Everyone say, praise ye the Lord. Now that's mandate form. That's a mandate. So however you do it, you have to do it. You have to praise the Lord. Just like Peter said, repent. That's mandate. You got to repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. That's mandate. You got to be baptized. That word means to immerse. You got to be baptized in Jesus' name, or it's not legitimate. For the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's a mandate. This is a mandate. Praise ye the Lord. Well, I don't feel like, praise ye the Lord. Well, I wasn't raised that way. Praise ye the Lord. Would you say, sing unto the Lord a new song? You got to quit singing your old song. If your song is not the song of God, you got to sing a new song. David said, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard my cry. He lifted me up out of a deep pit, set my feet on a rock, established my goings, and he's put a new song in my heart. Even praise unto my God. Don't sing the blues no more. So don't come in this house singing about all your trouble. Don't walk on the job singing about all your trouble. You can't sing like the world sings anymore. A new song. Everybody say a new song. I got to hurry. And his praise in the congregation of the saints. Say his praise in the congregation of the saints. We get together and we praise God. I ought to have a life of praise as an individual, and I have to have a collaborative life of praise. Verse 2. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. There's got to be that component, that element of joy in your worship and in your praise. Just for the simple fact that God made you. Because you're here breathing and your heart's beating, you ought to praise God. Praise God. And be joyful about it. You got to do it and you got to like it. So we'll first start on do it. You got to praise him. And you got to like it. It's like everything else in the kingdom of God. I got to love you, and I've got to like it. I got to forgive you, and I've got to like it. I can forgive you, but I'm going to work on the liking it. But it's nice. God lets us work through the process. So we're going to praise God and be joyful. Okay, verse 3. Let them praise his name in the dance. My God, that's a long way from Zor Baptist Church. Let them praise his name in the dance. I don't care. You can talk to me till your head falls off your shoulders. You can't explain why the word of God says praise him in the dance, and you say don't dance. He's put a new song in my heart, and it's got something in it that makes my feet want to move. My God. Well, I wasn't raised that way. Well, you got to get re-educated. Well, I don't dance good. Well, he didn't say dance good. He just said dance. So look down below your knees and see if you got feet down below your knees. And if you do, now Brother Jimmy's the only person in the house, or Sister Hagedorn, or Sister Katie that came in on a walker this morning. They're exempt from the dance. They can pat their foot maybe, do a little something. Brother Jimmy can nod his head. But if you got feet that work, the word of God said, praise him in the dance. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Legitimacy. Legitimacy. What does praise and worship look like? It does not look like that. Oh, sit down. Sit down. I'm using you as an object lesson. You look like the Supreme Court. It does. Praise and worship doesn't look like that. The posture of deity is still. But the posture of worship is fluid and dynamic and moving. Praise God. The worshiper moves. The worshipee sits there and loves it. Why do you think men want to sit still and maintain their composure and their dignity? Because they want to be worshipped. Why do you think David took off his kingly robe and came down Main Street like Daffy Duck? Because he didn't want to be worshipped. He wanted to be a worshiper of the Most High God. Let them praise him in the dance. Now, you could argue here that this just simply says, let them praise him in the dance. So don't stop them. Let them. Let them sing praises with the timbrel and the harp. Everybody with a timbrel. Get the timbrel right now and rattle it a little bit. Praise him with the timbrel. We didn't have those where I was raised. Why do we have timbrels? Because the Bible said praise him with the timbrel. You can hear a tambourine over everything. It's a great little worship instrument. Okay, praise him with a timbrel. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. God likes it when you praise. God likes it when you dance. God likes it when you beat and bang on a tambourine. The Lord takes pleasure in his people. You know what he doesn't like? He doesn't like it when you sit there like a bump on a stump when it's time to praise God and you're like, well, I don't know if he's worthy of praise, or I just don't get into this, or this is just not my nature. And you're sitting there like a bump on a pickle and you're not praising and magnifying God. How do you think that makes God feel? All right, well, we do this. I'll introduce George Bush. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, George W. Bush. And nobody moves, nobody claps, and you all sit there. And he knows he stumbled into a Democratic convention. Nothing's happening here. What do you read into that? I mean, you can see it, the State of the Union address. That side of the aisle and this side of the aisle is. What does that mean? Well, one side is in favor. We agree. We adore. We like you. We support you. We're with you. And what does the other side say? We're not in favor. We don't agree. Well, now, Brother Sutton, you can't project that on me. Listen, sweetheart, I'm not. The Word of God is doing all the projecting in the house today. I'm drawing conclusions. If you're not a worshiper of the Most High God. Now, if you come in the house and you're not up leaping and dancing and running or something like that, I don't look at you and say, oh, a non-worshiper. I think, foot surgery, carpal tunnel. I always think good thoughts about you. I do. I always think, I know this person loves to worship God. They obviously have a very good reason. They're feeling really sick, and they're about to do projectile stuff everywhere, and they're just trying to keep a handle on it, and that's okay. And I don't pay any attention to you. But we're teaching the lesson today, and the lesson is on praise and worship. And the Word of God said, let them praise him in the dance and in the new song. Praise the Lord. That's why you were created. You've got to get with it. Now, the Lord, everybody say, the Lord takes pleasure in it. God likes it when you clap your hands. God likes it when you lift your hands. God likes it when you dance and sing. God likes it when you gather together and you say, there's nobody like Jesus. There's nobody like the Lord. God loves it. And what does he do? What does he do when you praise the Lord? He beautifies the meek with salvation. When you get a worshiping church, God pours out the Holy Ghost. When you get a worshiping church, God will draw men and women to an altar of decision. When you get a worshiping church, God knows he has liberty. Praise God. He'll beautify the meek with salvation. Praise God. So, you know, there are churches where nobody's ever gotten the Holy Ghost. I can diagnose that quickly. There's no worship in the house. If they would just begin to worship God, they could have an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. And we touched on this the other night. I believe this is probably talking about death beds and sick beds. This is an experience that will go with you in the darkest valleys of life. Praise God. Sing aloud on your bed. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. Not low praises, not mediocre praises, but high praises of God. Be in your mouth. What do you want to do when you come to the house of God? I want to give him my best. You know, I believe God gives us his best. He came a long way to die on Calvary. He flung stars out in the heavens. My God, he's worthy of high praise. Somebody say high praise. I don't want to walk out with anything left. I want to pour it all out before the Lord. I want to give God my best. Why would you want to give him anything else? Now, I'm going to tell you, we do have some folks in this church that, like, say, if I was to use Rachel for an example here, we have some folks in the church, this is high gear. If she went to a Super Bowl, I'm just using you for an example, not saying Rachel's like this, but if a person like this went to a Super Bowl, they would just be sitting there like this. And that's high gear. If they were at a very exciting event of a secular nature, they would just be sitting there like, when you get this out of them, I mean, you've got all they got to give. And that is high gear. But if you're a person that was animated in your response to life before you came to live for God, you were on your feet at a football game or a basketball game or a baseball game, and you got excited on the job about things, and you were just a person of emotion and excitement. My God, when you come to the house of God, that ought to be your natural response. You ought to be praising and magnifying God. There ought not be a sporting event in this country where there's more zeal and more excitement. That's right. What were you like when you went down to the honky-tonk? Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I know we got some veteran honky-tonkers in this house. You danced and you shouted and you acted like a fool. Praise God. High praises. Somebody say high praises. Shake your neighbor's hand and tell him, I want to give God my best. High praises. Give him high praises. And a two-edged sword in their hand. And now we're about to enter into something else. When you praise and magnify God, you're walking off into an arena of spiritual warfare. You're walking off into a place. You're tapping into a resource. You're beginning to draw from the strength of God about situations you don't have any power over, but God has power over it. And when I praise God, now listen, you can't praise God with a two-edged sword, and the two-edged sword is folded up on the table. I'm saying your praise has to be consistent with the Word of God. All right, I don't understand this, but I'm doing this because the Word of God says it. You do a lot of things you don't understand because the Word of God says it. I'm shouting, I'm screaming, I'm running, I'm dancing. I don't understand it. It's not my culture. It's not how I was raised. But the Word of God said it, so I'm doing it. Does anybody feel like that? I'm going to do it because His book said it. I'm going to do it because God said it. When you adapt that frame of mind, you have a sharp two-edged sword in your hand. Now watch what your praise does. To execute vengeance upon the heathen. Now if it was Israel, they're talking about other people groups. But we're in the church age. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places and the rulers of darkness in this present world. So things you can't get your hand on, things you can't cut, you can't shoot, you can't throttle, but you want to. In your praise and worship, He's been riding your shoulder. He's been talking to you about how bad things are. He's been telling you what a loser you are. He's been telling you how life is irredeemable, how you are never going to get out of this pit. But when you come to the house of God and you start worshiping and praising and magnifying God, God begins to fight on your behalf. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. I can't get my hands on the devil, but I can shout and some angel will give him a kick, a swift kick. Praise God. I can't get my hand on a demon, but I can praise God. And there's a angel with a sword paddling him all the way out of my life. Vengeance and punishment to bind their kings. Bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. How do I do that? By praising God. I can't get into the arena of darkness and the powers thereof, but I can pray down the chains of God upon my adversary. I can't probe into his lair. I can't get disembodied and out into that arena of the spirit. But I can begin to praise God, and God begins to move, and the word of God begins to move on my behalf. And I do spiritual warfare when I praise and magnify God. To execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have most of his saints. This honor have a select few of his saints. Only the pretty ones. Only the ones with money. Only the ones that have been here over 10 years. Everybody say, all his saints. Shake your neighbor a little bit and say, you got the privilege of shaking hell with your praise. Play a little bit. You got the privilege of shaking hell with your praise. You can shake the foundations of hell in this city with your praise. Praise God. Well, Psalms 150. Say, praise ye the Lord. Shout praise God in his sanctuary. Now, a brief tutorial. The sanctuary, the temple, the tabernacle was Moses' tabernacle. But then when Jesus came, the prophet had said, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. But he didn't come to the temple in Jerusalem, but rather he came to the temple that was his body. And the Pharisees said, are you going to have to show us a sign? And he said, I'll show you a sign. Tear down this temple. In 3 days, I'll raise it up. And they said, you're nuts. This took 46 years to build. But John said they knew not that he spoke of the temple of his body. And then he raised that temple up. And he placed it in the throne of authority in the heavens. And on the day of Pentecost, he breathed down into 120. Pentecost was first fruits. And the first fruits of the first resurrection received the Holy Ghost. And you know, what made the temple the house of God? What made the temple the house of God? Because God lived there. What made Jesus' body the house of God? Because God lived there. Paul said God was manifest in the flesh. What happened to the 120 when the Holy Ghost came down on them? They became the temple of the Most High God. Paul says, what? Know you not that you are the temple of God? He said, therefore glorify God. Glorify God. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord. Somebody shout, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. I want you to understand, this is not talking about this crummy metal building with a hung ceiling and man-made carpet. This is talking about the sanctuary that he came to live in when he filled you with the Holy Ghost. If you're the sanctuary of God, praise him a little right now. Praise him in the sanctuary. Praise him in the sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Now, verse 3. Praise him with the sound of a trumpet. Our trumpet players in China. Need a horn. Can you make a horn sound? Never mind. I might not ever get back to reality there. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Now this is mandate form. Praise him with the timbrel and with the dance. Now, with all the music right now and the timbrel and the dance, I want you to just begin. We're going to have a workshop this morning. I want you to begin to praise him. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. sing, Satan had me bound. Oh, but Jesus set me free. Oh, go ahead, every timbrel, every dancer. All right. Praise him with stringed instruments. And organs. Not all day, not all day. Nothing worse than an organ without an organist. Now, see, with the language, just the essence of the language itself, it can mean that you're going to praise him with this organ. So do that. You got to do one of those. Yeah. But also inherent in the language is that you praise him with the organ and with the stringed instruments. I'm so glad. All right. Now, verse 5. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Well, that's not real loud. I said, praise him on the loud cymbals. That's not loud enough. That's legitimate. It comes from the Word of God. Praise him on the high sounding cymbals. Let everything shout. Let everything. Let everything. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. The only exemption from praise is if you're not breathing. If you're breathing, you ought to be praising. We give you praise. We magnify you. We worship you. Holy, worthy, righteous God. Now we're going to do a little workshop. All right. Common Hebrew words to praise. Are you with me? Oh, here we come. Oh. Bigger. Oh, well. Gotta go. Common Hebrew words for worship. Barak. Now, y'all sing about that. Barak. To kneel or bow. To give reverence to God as an act of adoration. Why don't we do that for a little bit right now? I worship you. I lift you up. We praise your name. We worship you. Yes, 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 yes. Very good. Kneeling and bowing and prostrating before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise God. Well, praise God. Very good. Very good. Barak is used Psalms 34 and 1. I will Barak the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. Psalms 104. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and Barak, or bless his name. G-U-W-L. Gul. To to spin around under the influence of any violent emotion. Psalms 32 and 11. Be glad in the Lord and Gul, or spin around. You're righteous. Psalms 35 and 9. And my soul shall be Gul, or spinning around in the Lord. Psalms 118, 24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will Gul, or rejoice, and be glad in it. So just try that a little bit. Hey, you might want to go in the other direction every third time. You're going to get dizzy. You say, well, I don't understand that. Well, legitimacy comes from the Word of God. Praise God. Halal, to praise, to make a show or rave about, to glory or boast upon, to be clamorously foolish about your adoration of God. Psalms 22, you who fear the Lord, praise Him, or halal. Psalms 44 and 8, in God we boast all day long, and halal your name, or praise your name forever. Praise God. Are you okay? Ranan, to creak, to emit a stridulous sound. When I preach it, I don't have a falsetto voice. Somebody's going to have to help me with that. All right? That would be like... That's what that would be like. Psalm 7 and 17. I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness, and will ranan, praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalms 33 and 1. Ranan in the Lord, oh ye righteous. Psalms 98 and 4. Ranan joyfully in the Lord, all the earth. Praise God. Shakak, to depress or prostrate in homage or loyalty to God. Bow down or fall down flat. Now, we might not do that. You might want to practice that a little while in your own prayer chamber. Although we have done that before, we've come and we've lain prostrate in the presence of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Psalms 29 and 2, give unto the Lord the glory, do His name, worship or shakak the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Sure, strolling in a minstrel, to sing or be a singer. It just means to sing and walk and praise God and take a stroll in the Holy Ghost and just sing and praise God in the Holy Ghost. Somebody say praise the Lord. Are you all right? Sister Bonnie, where are you? Say Tehillah. Yeah, see, I can say Tehillah, but Sister Bonnie says Tehillah. You know, I don't know about her Hebrew, but she does real good with that. To sing Hallel, a new song, a hymn of spontaneous praise, glorifying God. So right now, what I want you to do, according to Psalms 34 and 1, I'll bless the Lord at all time. His Tehillah shall continually be in my mouth. Psalms 40 and 3, He put a new song, praise to our God, or Tehillah to our God. So what I want you to do right now is I want you to just make up your own song and begin to sing a song unto the Lord right now. New song. Oh, some of you are not singing. You got to make up a song now. Come on. Some of you are not singing. Thank you. If you can't think of any words, just sing in tongues. Praise God. Toda, an extension of the hand, a vowel, adoration, a choir of worshipers, confession, thanksgiving. Offer to God, Toda, thanksgiving, the extending of the hand. Praise God. It's an international sign of surrender. It's a biblical sign of worship and praise. Yada, to use, hold out the hand, to throw. I give you praise, God. I magnify you, God. I worship you, Lord God. Nobody loves me like God loves me. I praise you, Lord God. Alats. Psalms 5 and 11. But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be alats, joyful in you. Psalms 9 and 2. I will be glad and alats in you. I will sing praise unto your name, Most High. Alats means to jump for joy, exult, be joyful. Hallelujah. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine. Half time. This little light of mine, come on, jump. I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine. Well, praise God. Clap your hands and bless his name. Shagog. I don't know. My Hebrew is lousy, obviously. But you don't know much better because you can tell. But I'm just going to tell you. My wife's studying French right now. One of the phrases she's learning is, my French is very bad. But I told her, you're wasting time. Because anybody you talk to is going to know that your French is very bad. My Hebrew is very bad. But shagog means to move in a circle. To march in a sacred procession. All right, I want some praise circles all over the house. And I want at least one or two processions. That would be like a train. Moving down through the aisles and back through. There you go, brother. Here you go. You can join on this train right here. Here's one right here. Go ahead. Now open your mouth while you're praising him. Collective worship. Chul, to twist or whirl in a circular spiral manner, to dance. Goal, to call aloud. A bleeding, crackling cry. Fame, lightness, lowing, kara to bend the knee, karar to dance, to whirl, maka to rub or strike the hands together, mekola a dance company, a group dancing together, pashats to break out, break forth, make a loud noise, regard to stamp, to spring about wildly, or for joy, make noise, shout, rina a shrill sound, sound of joy, gladness, proclamation. Rua to split the ears with sound and shout for joy. Shabak to address a loud tone, a loud adoration, a shout, a proclaiming with a loud voice. Shabak. All right. Choose your own methodology, but let's sell everything that has breath. Praise the Lord. Praise circles, processions, whirling, dancing, leaping. If you've never received the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues, I want to invite you down to the altar right now. God can fill you with the Holy Ghost right now. Keep praying. Keep praising, church. The Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation.